This is part B. Can a man or woman be right with God? Number four, can a man please God? Let's continue on in Psalm 119, and let's come to verse 77. Now, we'll tie this together with the New Testament and see how it all comes. Remember this. The most important thing is a repentant heart and a loving attitude, loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. That's the most important thing. From that, you love your neighbor as yourself. From that, you love the brethren. From that, you love even your enemy, because you understand that enemies do these things because their minds are blinded and they don't know God. And they think they are doing right. Now, we'll build on that so we can see, yes, we can please God. And that's not forcing our way upon God. That is us yielding our ways and our thoughts to God's way, you see. Now, let's come to verse 77, Psalm 119. Verse 77, Psalm 119. Let your tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Very similar to the one that we read earlier. Now let's go to verse 174. Now you will notice the way that Psalm 119 is laid out. There are 22 sections of 8 verses, and each verse, each section is based upon the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with Alpha and then Beth and then Gamal and so forth, all the way through. And each verse in Hebrew begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this whole psalm was to be memorized and sung at the temple by the Levites. And it's called a song of degrees. So there are 22 degrees here. All right, let's pick it up. Psalm 119, verse 174. I have longed for your salvation. That's also part of the attitude, you see, that we have toward God. O Lord, and your law is my delight. Now let's carry this a little further and see how, let's come to Psalm 37, and let's see how this psalm is talking about delighting in God. So now it shifts from just the laws and the commandments and the statutes of God to God himself. Psalm 37. And it gives us some very good instructions here along the way. So let's pick it up right here in verse 1. Fret not yourself because of either evildoers. In other words, don't be frustrated because of what they're doing. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity who appear to be prospering in their evil. But just remember, Britney Spears. Just remember. Remember Heath Lagan. Ledger. Heath Ledger. Yes. He died. Britney Spears is still trying to find herself. Yet they have money, they have power, they have all of these things. And we don't need to be envious of them. Just think of this. Every time you see a filthy rich plutocrat driving by in a Rolls Royce, and maybe they lift up their nose as they pass by you, think about what kind of travel vehicle is God going to give you. Don't be envious of them, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land. And verily you shall be fed. God will take care of you. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Not the lust, but the desires. See? And if your desire is to be in the kingdom of God, which it is, and if your desire is to please him, which it is, then God is going to take care of you. And not all of that, or let's put it this way, very little of that is going to be in this life. Because remember the parable of the pounds and the talents? At the resurrection, what did God say to the one who received 5 talents? He said, because after he was faithful, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Be you over 10 cities. See, so the finality of it's going to come in the resurrection. But we will receive blessings as we go along. Now notice, verse 5 is the key. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In his way and in his time. All right, let's come down here. Let's just continue right on. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, of course, as at the resurrection, and your judgment as the noonday. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And then it says down here, drop down to verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That's being in the kingdom of God. Now, nothing can replace that. Never forget that. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And that means how happy and delighted we're going to be when we are spirit beings ruling and reigning with Christ. In all the weakness of the flesh and all the pulls of sin, all going to be gone. So that's really something to keep in mind. Come over here to verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. So when we read in the New Testament with our inheritance, it starts with the earth. And then it ends up with the universe. So that's something. Imagine this. Now, I talked yesterday about our calling, and God is called the weak of the world and everything like this, and that's exactly what it is. But here you are in a seminar to learn how to develop godly character so you can rule under Christ in the kingdom of God. See, this is a full-time work. This is the Lord's business. While the world's out here trying to figure out how they're going to bring on their one world order, God already has his plan working. And he's already training those that he's going to use. Now, the world wouldn't pick us, that's for sure. You know, we don't look the part, we don't act the part, we're not the part. So, they reject us. Okay, we're going to inherit the earth, but notice, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. God's going to take care of the wicked. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or that is established. And he delights in his way. Now let's see how this works even a little bit more here. Let's come to 1 John, the third chapter, and we'll begin putting all of this together. 1 John, the third chapter. And let's understand always as we're going through here that where we began was with a humble heart, a contrite spirit. And whenever we are approaching God, this is how we are to live our lives. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11. 1 John 3 and verse 11. And this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that is from Christ, that we should love one another. Now God is most delighted in when we love Him and love each other. And that's when God takes the most pleasure in His saints. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his own brother. And what was the reason that he murdered him? Because his own works were wicked, but his brother's were righteous. So there's always the comparison, you see. My brethren, do not be amazed if the world hates you. And we have the sermon that begins the love series. Remember, when all else fails, God loves you. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what your circumstances are, how much you have suffered, how much you have lost, regardless of whatever it is, God loves you and He has called you, and that is the most important thing in life. Now then, when we develop a relationship with God, here, let's just turn back a page, go to 1 John, the first chapter, and let's see what really pleases God more than anything else is you take all of these aspects that we've talked about, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, delighting yourself in the law of God, delighting yourself in the commandments of God, delighting yourself in the way of God, you know, trusting in Him faithfully for everything. You put it all together with prayer and study and loving God and loving the brother and loving your neighbor, and put it together with the fellowship that we have with God. See, this is what God wants, that personal fellowship with Him on a daily basis. Now, John wrote, he said here, let's pick it up here in verse 3, that which we have seen and have heard we're reporting to you in order that you may have fellowship with us. For the fellowship, that's what it means in the Greek. It is a very emphatic form of Greek. The fellowship, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His own Son, Jesus Christ. And remember, if Christ is in you, what did the Father say of Jesus? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, God gets a little frustrated with people that have His Holy Spirit, who become lukewarm, who begin dabbling in false doctrines, who lose their first love, or who just become so lackadaisical that they become nearly dead. But he delights in those who apply themselves, who repent. Okay? Now let's see how this works back here. Let's come back here to verse 14. First John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life. That's because we have the Spirit of God. We'll see that in just a minute. But also because we love the brethren. The one who does not love his brother is dwelling in death. Now, let's think about that with the Catholic Church and the Inquisition. Not of God. Let's think about that in relationship to Islamic fundamentalism and conversion by beheading. And they think they're doing the will of God. Well, the God that they're doing the will of is not the Father of Jesus Christ. It's probably the God of this world, Satan the devil. Okay. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling within him. Hold your place here and come to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Now, there are many things that come along that can cause offense. And there are many difficulties that come along which are misunderstandings. But here is the key that is an important thing for you to always remember. If you have trouble with someone, or if you have something against someone, you go to that person individually and work it out. Because that is a very important exercise of the love and mercy of God and the loving of the brethren. Now, verse 22, Matthew 5. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause. Now, maybe there's a time you can be angry, but go settle it. And it says in Ephesians 4, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because all you're going to do is sweat and stew about it all night and never sleep and work it up in your mind and make it worse. Of course, I know none of you have ever done that, have you? Okay. Shall be subject to the judgment. Now, you've heard it said, whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be subject to the judgment of the council. But I say to you, whosoever shall say, or whoever shall say, you fool, shall be subject to the Gehenna of fire. For this reason. See, because lots of times we think things about people, we say things about people to other people, and what we're really doing is judging their hearts and minds and thoughts, and we don't know them. Remember this, even wives, you can't read someone else's mind, nor your husband's. Though, through many years of being married, you can make some pretty good guesses. But you never really know. Leave that to God. For this reason, verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift therefore before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. We'll talk about what kind of spiritual gifts we're to offer later. See, now we are coming before the altar in heaven above, not just on the earth. So this becomes an important thing. And always be ready to forgive. Always be ready to listen. And what did Peter ask Jesus? Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Peter thought he's being real generous. And Jesus said, I say to you, not seven times, but seven times 70 That's 490. Now, if you condense that into one day, that would occupy the whole day, wouldn't it? But you spread it out over a lifetime, that's still a lot, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right, let's come back here to 1 John, the third chapter. So go settle it first. If you've got an issue with someone, settle it. Well, talk to them. Well, what you may have to do is say, hey, you know, I need to talk with you, and please don't get upset. You know, I have something I need to get settled out here. Oh, and if someone says that to you, be all ears. Listen to what they have to say. And don't be a narcissist and justify everything you have done when you know you were wrong. See? Because you want God to forgive you your sins, correct? Yes. Then forgive someone else's sins. Now, what if you won't forgive that person's sins, but that person has repented to God and he's forgiven them? Now, where does that put you? See, so pleasing God is a lot more than saying, God, I love your law. God, I delight in it, which you need to do. You need to have a humble heart, a contrite spirit, and love him and love the brethren, and apply that in the way that you live in your relationship with God and each other. All right, let's go on. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Do you know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling within him? Verse 16, by this very act, we have known the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And this is the key right there. Now, you'll get a sermon, Jesus Our Hero and Champion, that I did up in Waco. So it'll be coming on one of the CDs not too far down the road. And one of the ways that we keep a humble and contrite heart and spirit is to understand what God has done for us and to understand what he has called us to. And you see, we receive all of that by his love and mercy and grace. Yes, there are things we are to do. We'll talk about that this afternoon. Okay? Now notice how we are to respond. Because he has laid his life down for us, and we ourselves are to lay down our lives for the brethren. And you do that through fellowship, through prayer, through encouragement. If they have need, you help them. And whatever it may be. And he explains it here, verse 17. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his feeling of compassion from him, how can the love of God be dwelling in him? That's self-explanatory. Then he makes it even clearer. Because he doesn't want us to have just platitudes of love or just thoughts of love and no actions of love, so he says this. My little children, we should not love in word nor in tongue. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. There's the old saying. What is it? Put your money where your mouth is. Yes, in deed and in truth. And in this way, now you receive a benefit from it. They receive a benefit because you love them. You receive a benefit because you love them. God receives a benefit because his spirit flows and his love flows. And here's what happens. And in this way, we shall we know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. You come before God with confidence, with love, with faith, with a repentant heart and attitude, and then your whole relationship or fellowship with God becomes that much greater. And it is spiritually motivated by the love of God. Now then, because we're human and we have the weakness of the flesh, and we sin, which we do, then we need to repent. But what happens when you sin? God convicts you in your mind. You condemn yourself, right? Yes. That happens to every one of us. Now, why does that happen? Because the Spirit of God is causing us to recognize that. People in the world don't have that happen to them. Those who have the Spirit of God have it happen to them, because God's Spirit is working with you to open your mind to see that this was wrong and for you to change. But nevertheless, when you sin, you condemn yourself. So he says here, verse 20, that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. So then that means when you repent, God will lift you out of it. And sometimes it lingers for a while, but you need to ask God to help you to purge it out of your mind, to purge it out of your heart, to purge it out of your thoughts. That's all a part of growing and overcoming, developing the heart, mind, and character of God, you see. Now, verse 21, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, that is, we have not sinned, because we can live a good deal of our lives without sinning, as we're led by the Holy Spirit of God. And what does this do for us then? Brethren, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God, because your relationship with God is strong. And you're continuing to use that and develop it. And whatever we may ask, we receive of Him. Now notice, because we keep His commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in His sight. So yes, you can please God. But it takes all of these things combined together, you see, which gives us a wonderful combination. And this is His commandment, that we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as He gave us, as He gave commandment to us. Now notice verse 24 is a very important thing, which then ties all of this together. The one who keeps His commandments is dwelling in Him. You're keeping the commandments of God, you're dwelling in Christ. And He, Christ, in Him. Christ is dwelling in you. And by this, we know that He's dwelling in us by the Spirit which He has given us. So you see, here's the strengthening of the spiritual relationship with God. Now, think on this for a minute. How repugnant is it in the eyes of God for a minister to stand up and constantly put fear in the hearts of the people of God because of the commands of a minister? Not very good. Because all that does is breed contention and dissent and fear and condemnation, and God wants us to get rid of all of these things through the love of God. Let's come over here to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us. See, God did it first, then He called us. God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this act is the love. Now that's a literal translation of the Greek. Not that we love God. In other words, it didn't come from us to God first. It came from God to us. And even God leads us to repentance by His graciousness, you see. Rather, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We have continual mercy and forgiveness daily upon repentance. That's why the daily prayer says what? What did Jesus say? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Right? Yeah. Constant repentance. Now let me tell you what will happen with that. I know a man who had some very treacherous thoughts against his wife, the wife of his youth. And we see that happen many times, don't we? Older men divorce their wives. I mean, look at one of the presidential candidates from New York City. And when he came to himself concerning it, he realized that he was dealing treacherously with the wife of his youth, whom he'd been married to many, many years. Let's come back here to Malachi in the second chapter. Let's read that. And so it seems to be something that a lot of men do. When they get older, they get rid of their wives and they hook up with some young thing and deal treacherously against their wives. Now let's pick it up here, Malachi 2 and verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore, or why? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she was your companion and the wife of your covenant, which was what? Unto death do us part. So when he came to his senses about that, he began to realize how treacherously he was dealing against his wife. And he repented. And lo and behold, many of his problems began to clear up because God led him to see that that inner sin within, which only he knew, was cutting him off from God. So that's why it's important that Christ came first and did what he did. And he's a propitiation of our sins, so that we can be cleansed from all sins. Cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, let's come back to 1 John 4 chapter. Beloved, if God so loved us, we're duty-bound to love one another. See, you can't say out of one side of your mouth, Lord, I love you. Now, the other side of your mouth say, I hate that person over there who's a brother or sister in Christ. Doesn't work that way. Well, I've already covered how you can handle that problem, see. No one has seen God at any time, yet if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his own love is perfected in us. And that's what God wants to do. Perfect the love. Now notice again, verse 13. By this standard we know that we are dwelling in him, and he is dwelling in us because of his Spirit which he has given to us. His own Spirit. God has given to us. That's amazing, isn't it? And we know that. For we have seen for ourselves and bear witness that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in him. That is, if it is in truth. And we have known and have believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and the one who dwells in love is dwelling in God and God in him. So you see how all of this works together then. And that we can love God, he can be pleased with us, and it's not that we of ourselves, by ourselves, can please God, but that we have his Spirit within us so we are able to please him. We are able to keep his commandments. We are able to love him. We're able to love the brethren, see. Now let's continue on. Verse 16. We have known and have believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and the one who dwells in love is dwelling in God and God in him. By this spiritual indwelling, the love of God is perfected within us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now here's where we come to in our relationship with God. Verse 18. There is no fear in the love of God. Rather, perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For if he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love God whom he has not seen? So we come full circle. Yes, you can be in right standing with God, and you can please God by doing the things that he delights in and being led and motivated by the Spirit of God to do his will and to do his pleasure. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.